Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke this morning, please. Luke chapter number 2. I would like to continue this thought. It was so big in my heart this week. And actually, I think the Lord was in us leaving off where we did on Wednesday night, because my heart truly, truly, truly is swelling with thankfulness this morning. I know it's Christmas, and normally you think about thankfulness at Thanksgiving, but I tell you, I'm glad my Savior was willing to stand up and leave heaven and come down here and take on Himself a body like our body, be tempted like we're tempted, that He could know how to make intercession for us, amen. And He's able to comfort those and to succor those that are tempted. And that He knew when He was born that He was born to die. He said, "For this cause came I into the world." And I appreciate the Lord. The Bible said in verse 14 of Luke chapter number 2, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I'd like to look at the thought today again, glory in the story. The Christmas story is a wonderful, wonderful story, but I don't think I've ever read it exactly like I read it this time, and I want to share with you what God's put in our heart. Pray with me, please. Father, thank You today for the privilege to be here in this place with these precious people. And Lord, to know that before You ever spoke the world into existence, You knew how cold it would be outside today. You knew about the pipes that would freeze. But Lord, You knew about those that would gather here in this building, Lord, in spite of the cold. Because our Father, it might be cold on the outside, but truly our hearts are warm on the inside. Warmed with the thought of the love of God. And Lord, the real meaning of Christmas, Lord, not what so much what we give to each other, but Lord, what we could give unto Thee. And I pray today, God, we give You glory. I pray for Nita, Lord, and the others, our Father, that stand in need of prayer, in need of physical touch. Some today, Lord, they're just very down, very discouraged. And God, I pray for that emotional, that physical touch, and that spiritual touch as well. Help us now, Lord. God, will give You glory in Jesus' name. All of God's young and said, amen. 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 Well, is anybody working in the nursery today? Nobody's working in the nursery today. Okay. Anybody working in the children's churches today? No? Okay. Then buckle up and hang on. Amen. Amen. I don't want to hear it. Amen. Let me review just a little bit about Wednesday night. We looked at the glory in the story, and we found it first in the favor. The Bible said that Mary found favor with God, that she was highly favored. What we tried to do was examine scriptures to show you that Mary is not the only one that found favor with God. Yes, she was chosen to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. But beloved, you and I live in a country where we could hear the gospel. We live in a country where there's a Bible on every corner. We live in a country where we can turn the radio on. Somebody will tell us the truth. Oh yeah, there's people on the radio that are lying. People on the television that are lying. There's people even in the churches that are lying. But thank God there's plenty of them telling the truth too about Jesus. He's God's Son. He's the only way to heaven, amen? He come into this world and give His life for us because He loves us, because it was not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The second thing in the message had to do with God's ability. We found glory in God's ability, and that the Bible said, with God nothing shall be impossible. So you take that difficult circumstance, that difficult situation, whether it's a physical situation or a financial situation or somebody that you know that's lost and undone without God or His Son, then beloved, listen, with God, nothing is impossible. We saw that, and He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. And then we found glory in the excitement. And thank God, Christmas, you know, really, listen to me. The children, I've already got pictures of my grandchildren on my phone this morning, and they're thrilled. You know what Sawyer's thrilled about? It's a pair of gloves and a dummy that you punch. Amen. I mean to tell you, I got a video of him. I mean, listen, he didn't just knock it down, but man, he's giving it to him while he's on the ground too. That's just Sawyer. You just got to know Sawyer. Amen. And he's thrilled about that. Well, let me ask you something. As adults, we know that's kind of silly to us and funny to us. But shouldn't we be thrilled about the things of God? Shouldn't we be excited? Amen. About the Bible said there when Mary told Elizabeth what God was doing in her womb. John the Baptist was in the womb of Elizabeth, and the Word of God said he leaped. He got excited about what he was hearing. Amen. You know, I believe if we're not careful, listen, I said we, even we that have studied the Bible for years, Brother Jason, Brother Chris, even we that preach the Bible, if we're not careful, we'll get dull of hearing, and we'll get where those stories don't mean what they used to mean to us. Amen. I was telling somebody the story about Samson last night, Aubrey's boyfriend. He said, I haven't heard that story in years. Amen. And the reason I was telling him that is because Aaron come in and his hair's down about right there. And I said, hello, Samson. And they wanted to know who Samson was. Amen. And you say, Pastor, aren't you worried about your grandson? No, God got a hold of me. He fixed my hair. Amen. He'll fix Aaron's too in his own time. Amen. We don't need to be concerned about things like that. God will fix that. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord. So we saw the excitement. We saw the excitement in the book of Samuel with David and about the things of God. And then we saw the excitement in that man in the temple when he was born lame. And yet Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but such I have give I thee. And the Bible said he rose up and he leaped through the temple. He was excited because God had changed his life. Now I want to give you this morning. Let's look in Luke chapter number 1. This is the fourth thing in the message, in case you're counting, Brother Harvey. Amen. Give him a pencil back there, Sister Marlene. Amen. He can make a mark somewhere every time we get through another one. Amen. Amen. Ain't it good to be able to have fun? Amen. I'm telling you what, there's enough sticks in the mud in the world. Amen. We don't need them in the church. We ought to have a little fun. Amen. Along the way. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. And give Him glory. The next thing I want to look at is the glory in a thankful heart. Look in verse number 46 of chapter number 1 of the book of Luke. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. I want to ask you something this morning. Has anybody already magnified the Lord before you ever got to church? When you woke up this morning, I tell you, first thing I did, I looked at the ceiling and I said, happy birthday, Jesus. Amen. Now, this might not be the day, but thank God there's nothing wrong with setting aside a day to know He come into this world and was born of a virgin. Amen. That we might have life and have it more abundantly. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. How many believe we're a little bit short on rejoicing these days? Amen. And the Word of God said, for He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Listen, we're not here. We're not that kind that worships Mary. But I tell you what, she's a blessed woman. Amen. To be able to carry the Son of God. And to be able to deliver the Son of God. To be able to hold the Son of God. To be able to raise the Son of God. To be able to stand amazed at the Son of God when He spoke to him in the temple. Say amen. And when He worked with such wisdom and walked in such a way that everybody knew there was something different about that youngin'. Amen. Something different. And the Word of God said here, He that is mighty hath done to me great things.
Holy is His name. And His mercy is on all them that fear Him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seat and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent empty away. He hath opened His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. As He spake to our fathers Abraham, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. I'll tell you something right now, what I'm glad about is when you look at Mary, listen, God knows who can handle it, and God knows who can't. There might have been a lot of women, beloved, listen, who got puffed up, that would have been proud, but Mary was humbled, amen, that God would choose the likes of her. And I tell you what, if we could see salvation just right, you and I would be humbled that God would have anything to do with the likes of us, amen, that He would save us and put us into His family and take us to heaven when we leave this world. What a blessing that is. I see the glory in a thankful heart. The next thing in the message, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 1, please, and verse number 57. If you're right there, if you're looking at your Bible, I want you to see the glory in the forerunner. And that forerunner was John the Baptist. We're talking about glory in the story. Now Elizabeth's full name came, full time came that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. How many's ever read the Bible names? So-and-so begot so-and-so. How many's ever read those Bible names? Well, I don't think I've ever read over there in that Old Testament, amen, about John. Think about this for just a moment. The Bible said here, and it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. That was common in Israel, to name that firstborn after the daddy. And the word of God said, his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. Glory to God. You say, Pastor, what do you mean, a forerunner? They said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father, how he would have him called. Why did they do that? Because here, beloved, Zacharias couldn't speak. He didn't believe, and God just made him dumb for a little while. He couldn't speak, amen? And so they made signs, and he asked for a writing table, and he wrote, his name is John, amen? He disagreed with God. His name is John. What's he going to do? He's going to prepare the way of the Lord. He's going to be the forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ. And glory to God. What a story that is. Turn back, if you will, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1 and verse 12. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. You say, Pastor, what's this got to do with the glory of God? It's got everything to do with the glory of God. I'm telling you, God knew what he was doing. He chose a man with a backbone like a saw log that would stand up in front of the Pharisees and say, you generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He chose a man that would stand before Herod and say, listen, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. He was a man that would preach the word of God straight and make straight the way of the Lord. That's who John was. And God was getting glory out of this situation. Many of the children of Israel, I love this. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 16. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Ain't that good? You say, Pastor, what's going on? Well, you remember in John, he came into his own. His own received him not. That's talking about overall. But thank God there was some. There was some, even of the priests, that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I can remember one text where they wouldn't make it public because they were afraid of getting thrown out of the synagogue. Amen. That's a sad day. Amen. That your religious experience means more to you than what's going on in your heart with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said here, and many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. I love this. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I find glory in that forerunner, John the Baptist. Amen. God knew what he was doing. Say amen. He didn't choose a man, beloved, listen, that had lace on his underwear. He chose a man, beloved, that went about eating locusts and wild honey and the camel's hair. He chose a man's man to go out there and preach the word of God in front of Jesus. I say glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. Glory in the story. I see it in his favor, in his ability. I see it in the excitement. I see it in a thankful heart. I see it in the forerunner, John the Baptist. Now I want you to see this in Matthew chapter 1. Turn back over there, please. Matthew chapter number 1. There's some more glory in this story. Now, I don't know about you, but I would hate to be engaged to a young lady. Amen. Espoused, getting ready to get married, and find out she is pregnant. That's exactly what happened with Joseph. Amen. You say, well, what did God do? God showed up. God explained the thing to Joseph. But I'm going to tell you something, beloved. We live in a generation today where some people are so hard-hearted they wouldn't even took God's word for it. But I'm going to tell you what I see here. I see the glory in the believing. Joseph believed the message that God brought to him. Let me show you here. The Bible said in Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together. In other words, you know what that means. Before they had a sexual relationship, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. In verse number 20. But while he thought on these things, listen, Joseph, I believe, was a good man, don't you? A lot of men in that generation would have embarrassed that woman. They'd have took her out in the town square. Say amen. But Joseph said, I got to handle this as discreetly as I can. She's made a mistake, so to speak, in his heart and in his mind. But it's not me. It's God that's got to take care of this. Watch this now. Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now listen to me. We've read this Bible over and over. But just put yourself in Joseph's shoes for a minute. We never heard anything like this. I try to put myself every once in a while in Nicodemus' shoes, that ruler of the Jews, a religious man, when Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. What? No wonder Nicodemus said, shall I enter a second time into my mother's womb? He never heard the term before. Amen. Now we know what the new birth is. It's a spiritual birth. We're born physically, but there has to come a day if we're going to go to heaven when we must be born spiritually. We must be born. To be born again means to be born from above. That God must do a work in our heart and in our life. He thought on these things. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Now, God just give me something right there, Brother Jason. Could be that old Joseph knew his Bible. Could be that he had studied that Old Testament passage over there in the book of Isaiah. And he said, oh, it's happening to us. What God said is going to happen. Amen. I'm telling you, there's glory in believing what God said. Amen. And the word of God said here, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They'll call his name Emmanuel. Two verses right here, verse 21, verse 23. We're going to call him Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sin. We're going to call him Emmanuel, God with us. I say hallelujah. Glory in the story. Glory in believing. You come on down here. A virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then Joseph being raised from sleep. You say, Pastor, how do you know he believed? Watch this now. He did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. Let me tell you something. People that say they believe and yet won't do what God told them to do, they're lying to you. The Bible said faith without works is dead, being alone. Amen. We do not preach or teach a work salvation, but we believe in a salvation that works. If you get saved by the grace of God, it'll change your life. Amen. And you'll want to do something to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then being raised from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. I believe that. Don't you believe they had a time waiting on Jesus to get here? Don't you believe Mary would tell Joseph over and over and over again what God had told her? Don't you believe Joseph would tell Mary over and over and over again what God had told him? And they were just waiting for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Bible teaches us there's glory in believing. The next thing in the message, there's glory in humility. I'll not say a whole lot about this, but the Bible said he humbled himself. Talking about Jesus. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But I want to remind you of something. Jesus humbled himself a long time before Calvary. He humbled himself when he stood up from the right hand of God the Father and he come down here. He humbled himself. Say amen. So that you and I, beloved, in our pride, he could visit with us and knock a pride out of us. Amen. And cause us to get in a place where we understood we needed a Savior and come to trust him as our Lord and our Savior. Look at Matthew chapter number 2. I want to look at a verse or two here. Matthew chapter number 2, verse number 7. Not only is there glory in his favor, in his ability, in the excitement, the thankful heart, the forerunner, glory in believing, glory in his humility, but there's glory in following. Look at Matthew chapter 2, verse number 7. The word of God said, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men. Let me stop. Time out right here. This ain't in the message, so to speak, but it's in my heart. It's been in my heart for several days. While that Mary and Joseph are rejoicing, y'all understand this. Let's see here. Look at verse 16, same chapter. You'll understand that. This is just kind of interjected into the message. I didn't even put it in the notes. I didn't know God was going to bring it back, but here it comes. The Bible said in verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was exceeding wroth. In our English language, it means he was mad. He was very upset. He was angry. And he sent forth and he slew all the children that were in Bethlehem. And here's what, Steve has said this over and over, Brother Steve. Here's what God brought into my mind. Beloved, listen, while Joseph and Mary are extremely happy, and while they're rejoicing, while there's angels rejoicing, while there's wise men rejoicing, beloved, there's a whole lot of people around Bethlehem who are sorrowing. They've lost their children, 2 years old and younger. And somebody can help me with this maybe after church. But I read where it says the male children. I didn't find that in the Bible. It just said the children 2 years and under. I don't know for sure about that. But if you can help me with that, I'm being honest. You help me with that. If it is just the male children, help me with that. That's what I've been taught for years and years and years. But hear the word of God. I want you to show you. He sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken of Jeremy the prophet. Listen to what Jeremy said. In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation, weeping, great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. So while there were many that were rejoicing at the birth of Christ, there were many, not because of the birth of Christ, but because of the loss of their children, were brokenhearted in the same hour. Amen. Because a wicked king. Beloved, listen. What's going on in our generation is wicked. What they're doing to the babies is wicked. How they try to justify it is wicked. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, you and I that know the Lord Jesus, we can rejoice at Christmas, but a lot of people are weeping because of their loss and brokenhearted because of their loss. We need to remember that. Let me give you this. There's glory in following. Look at verse 7 again. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. When ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. You know what Herod is, don't you? He's a liar. He wasn't interested in worshiping Jesus. He wanted to kill him. He felt like that Jesus was a threat to his kingdom, to his kingship and his kingdom. Watch this now. And the Bible said here, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go, search diligently. Look at verse 9. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say thank God for somebody that saw the light and then somebody that followed the light. Amen. Amen. See, Jesus said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, we don't have a star. We got something a whole lot more powerful than a star. We got God's record. We got his word. Say amen. We got the Holy Ghost living inside of us. We're without excuse not to follow him. Amen. In these days, there was glory in the following. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. There may have been many in that day that were not aware of what Herod was up to, but God was aware, and God made Joseph and Mary aware as well. Then let me give you this. In Matthew chapter number 2, there's glory in protecting. Look with me, if you will, at verse 12 through verse number 15. Go back to Matthew chapter number 2, verse 12 through verse 15. Being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. When they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, said, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be, here it comes again, fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. I'm glad I can see glory in the fact that Herod didn't have his way, but God did. Amen. He protected the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to say this to you. He's got us in his hand, and he's going to take care of us that are his children. Amen. And he's going to see to it, beloved, that we make it home one day after a while. Jesus would die, but he was not going to die in Herod's time. he was going to die in God's time. And beloved, I tell you, we need some people that will protect the gospel, that will be set like Paul was for the defense of the gospel, that will earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, that won't roll over with this generation of modernists and liberals, say amen, on what thus saith the word of God, but will stand fast, amen, even in these last days. I don't know about you, but I see glory in the story, amen. The story of our Savior's birth, on every hand, God is revealing His glory. No wonder the Bible said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Father, thank you today for this time together. Lord, I realize, God, that it's a cold day on the outside, but I thank you, Lord, for a warm place to meet. I thank you for the liberty, for the freedom that we have, Lord, to meet in the house of God. Lord, I know today as I look out on the congregation that there are many, our Father, they profess to know you. And God, they've given me no reason not to believe that they know you. But Lord, I wonder today, Lord, if everyone knows you. Lord, I know you would have left heaven for just one. God, it could be today that you're speaking to that one heart. It's Christmas. They've never received the gift of God. Don't know for sure if they died, they'd go to heaven. Don't know that they have eternal life. Don't know that they have a living, vital relationship with the Lord of glory. God, this could be the day. This could be the day when they say, no more, no more. Self is not going to reign in my life anymore. I'm going to trust the Savior. Lord, I just pray today you'd speak to hearts. Help us, Lord, like Mary, that know you, God, to be a thankful people, to magnify the Lord, to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.